Ken Wagner, good morning.
Good morning.
You've come out in support of adding more than 2,000 students overall at Achievement First, even though Providence officials are warning that would take a big bite out of their school budgets in the years to come, and it could harm their efforts to improve schools across the district. What makes this proposal worthwhile, in your view?
So Achievement First is a proven partner. They've gotten dramatic results, not only in Rhode Island, but also in Connecticut and New York. And we have a challenge in Rhode Island that we have students who are enrolled in schools that are struggling, not just for the past year or 2 years, but for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. And we have to do something about that. And we have a proposal to not solve the whole system. We need to continue to invest in our district schools to help our Providence teachers have the support that they need to do dramatically better for all kids. But we have a proposal to help some of the kids, and we can't wait. We have to keep chipping away at the challenge, and Achievement First is going to help us chip away at that challenge.
Now, part of this process includes looking at the financial impact on districts, and depending on which analysis you look at, that impact is somewhere in the neighborhood of $30 million in federal, state, and local funding that would move with students out of the Providence School District and into the Achievement First charter schools. And that would take about a decade, so it wouldn't happen overnight. Are the claims, though, about how much that would really affect Providence public schools overstated?
I do not believe that anyone is owed the money. The district is not owed the money. The taxpayers raise the money for the purpose of educating the youth, and the district is a service provider to help educate the youth. But the fiscal impact analysis is to the community, and there is no fiscal benefit for having thousands and thousands of kids continue to underperform to their potential. There is absolutely a fiscal benefit to the community to have those kids achieve at their potential, and we provided information that shows that the income potential for those students over the course of their lifetime, which is a benefit to the community that raised their children, is in the hundreds of millions of dollars. And we can't ignore that.
So, but are we, as some people have argued, essentially supporting a quality education for the 3,000 or so students who would attend these schools at the expense of all of the thousands of other children who would remain in the Providence public schools?
You know, it's odd. In education, sometimes we say we can't do anything for anyone unless we do the same thing for everyone. And that's like saying we can't improve our schools until we solve world poverty. And of course, we need to continue to improve our schools even while poverty still exists. And I believe that by putting healthy pressure on the system, by showing that we can take the same kids and we can get dramatically different results, it puts healthy pressure on the system to up its game. Providence, as district schools, needs to up its game. Systems do not change unless they have to change. I'm not talking about the professionals. We have hundreds of dedicated professionals in Providence working day in and day out. They love their kids. They're doing the best that they can do. The system needs to change, and the system will never change unless there's a healthy pressure.
Now, Ken Wagner, you've talked about the fact that thousands of Providence students are enrolled in schools that have struggled for years to raise student achievement. Meanwhile, Achievement First has come in and in a relatively short amount of time shown that they can help students get test scores that are better than average. What do you attribute their success to?
Yeah, there's no silver bullet. And Providence, under the mayor and the superintendent, have a good plan to produce better results, looking at things like extended learning time, summer learning time to prevent summer learning loss. They're looking at getting more teachers prepared to support English language learners and so on. But Achievement First is coming in with a different model. They're relentlessly focused on a supportive and continuous improving instructional culture. And that matters. I've spent a lot of time over the past year talking about the importance of culture. The whole organization focused on the mission of teaching and getting better at getting better is something that Achievement First does.
Now, Achievement First has also faced some criticism from parents and other people, both in Rhode Island and in other states, about the strict kind of discipline that they enforce, some criticism that they're not serving the same percentage of students who have learning challenges or learning disabilities. What do you say to those criticisms?
Yeah. So one size doesn't fit all. Achievement First is a model. And we have, I think, five times more parents are asking to get into Achievement First than Achievement First has approved slots. So clearly there's a demand. Is it the right match for every student? Of course not. We need to find the right match for all of our students. And I believe that we need to think not just about charter schools versus district schools, but having districts collaborate where there might be a great program for one child that happens to be in Pawtucket or in Barrington or in Westerly. We have to stop pretending that an assigned school can be all things to all kids all of the time. We need to stop driving parents out of the district systems into private schools and into charter schools. The district system needs to be more nimble, more flexible, and more responsive.
Ken Wagner is Rhode Island's Education Commissioner. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.